Now, if you have a Bible with you this evening, we want to read in the Gospel of John, John's Gospel, and we're going to read from verse number 9. Pick it up at verse 9. On Sunday night, our dear friend Andrew Logan was preaching on the text, "Behold the Lamb of God," the words of John the Baptist, and there John the Baptist likens the Lord Jesus to a lamb, the lamb of sacrifice, the one that was destined to go to the cross and there to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. But tonight it's another picture that's brought before us in the same gospel in chapter 10. And there the Lord Jesus is presented not so much as the lamb, but as the shepherd. And so this is a great discourse of the shepherd and the sheep. And we'll break in there at verse number 9, and says the Lord Jesus, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Now it's verse number 9 that I just want to draw your attention to this evening for a few moments. This wonderful gospel text says the Lord Jesus, "I am the door. By me, if anyone enters in, he or she shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." And I just want to put my magnifying glass, as it were, to this lovely text, and we want to look at it a little bit closer, and we just want to break it down and leave with you three thoughts concerning this lovely gospel text. We're going to think first of all about the person who said these words, "I am." That's the person who's speaking. Jesus, the Son of God. "I am," he says. And then we have the picture. He takes up a picture, an illustration of himself. He says, "I am the door." The door. He likens himself to a door. And then he gives us a wonderful promise. He says, "If anyone enters in by me, he shall be saved." So we're going to think about the person, and we're going to think about the picture, and we're going to think about the promise this evening, and trust that God's gracious Holy Spirit will be pleased to take up his word and use it to the blessing of some dear soul in the meeting. I wonder, dear friends, what you understand of the person that we're speaking about, the one who said, "I am." If I was to ask people out in Bicester tonight who Jesus is, they might say, "Well, he was a carpenter from Nazareth." And others might say, "Well, no, Jesus, well, he was a good man. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." And others might even say, "Well, you know, he was a perfect man." And someone else might say, "Well, you know, he was a prophet." And you know, all these things are absolutely true. But that doesn't even begin to describe who Jesus of Nazareth really is. The one who stood that day and said, "I am." Dear friend, he was none other and is none other than God manifested in flesh. How amazing. I wonder if you've come to understand that Jesus of Nazareth was more than just a good man, and more than just a prophet, and more than even a perfect man. He was God, the Son of God. Indeed, John tells us in his very gospel, right at the commencement of the gospel, he says, "In the beginning was the Word." Why, that's another description, another title of the Lord Jesus. He's the Word. He's the Logos. Now, how do you know what I'm thinking tonight? You know what I'm thinking because of what I'm saying. Isn't that right? Words are a wonderful thing. Words reveal to people what's in our mind. And you see, God wants to speak to man. He wants to speak to humanity. And he does it through the Word, the living Word. And you see, Jesus, the Son of God, he's a great revealer of God. The Bible tells us that no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath told him forth. He has declared to him. And so John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Then he says, all things were made by him, and there was not anything made that was made that was not made by him. Everything that has being tonight, whether it's human beings or down to that little beetle there in the grass, everything that has being owes its existence to none other than the Son of God. Indeed, John goes on to tell us in verse 10, he was in the world. Not wonderful. That the Word, the living Word, the Son of God, should have come into this world, born there in Bethlehem. And it says, and he was in the world, and the world was made by him. Made by him. The carpenter of Nazareth, the one who made the tools and the plowshares and the window frames and the doors of the people there in Nazareth, was none other than the one who designed and brought the universe into existence by the word of his power. Wonder, dear friend, have you come to understand this, that Jesus of Nazareth is a divine person. He's the very creator of the heavens and of the earth. And tonight, you owe your existence to Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, dear friend, that the breath that you're drawing tonight in this tent, it's in his hand. It's in his hand. He is the great, almighty creator. And that wonder of wonders, he stepped into time. He voluntarily left heaven and left the throne of God that he shared with his Father eternally. And he chose to come into this world to be conceived in the womb of a virgin by the Holy Spirit's power, and to be born 9 months later there in Bethlehem, and to be laid in a cattle trough, the very Son of God. And you know that seeming helpless infant that Mary brought forth and laid on the hay, on the common cattle trough? Why, that little seeming helpless infant was none other than the mighty God, the very Father of eternity, the Eternal One, wonder of wonders, confined to a span. Why, Solomon, when he dedicated the temple, he couldn't get his head round it, that God should be pleased to dwell in this magnificent building that he built there in Jerusalem. And he says, why, the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house that I have built. How far more wonderful to think of the eternal God confined to a span, a little infant. And why did he come? Why, he came into the world, the Bible tells us. He came into the world to save sinners. That's why he came. Dear friend, I want to raise your thoughts and raise your appreciation tonight of Jesus, the Son of God, the very creator of the heavens and of the earth. And in this very gospel, the Lord Jesus performed 7 wonders, 7 signs that gave authenticity to his claims to deity and to be the Messiah. These signs were miracles, 7 miracles that John records. And the reason why he recorded them, he says at the close of his gospel, many other signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, dear friend? For that determines whether you're a Christian or you're not a Christian. You can't claim to be a Christian unless you believe what I'm saying, that Jesus is the Son of God. He's the very Christ of God. He's the very Savior of sinners. And so the person, I am, the great I am. You know, when God sent Moses to Israel in Egypt to lead them out of captivity, Moses said, "Who will they say sent me?" "You tell them I am that I am sent you." This is Jehovah speaking, the great God. I am that I am. And seven times in John's Gospel, the Lord Jesus made seven great statements of truth concerning himself. I am, he says. Are you dissatisfied tonight? Are you looking for life and satisfaction? Says the Lord Jesus, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst. Tell me, dear friend, are you looking for guidance through life? This dark world in which we live, this world of confusion, this world of noise and confusion. And you know, people are lost and they're in the dark. And it would just like a light, a bit of guidance. As says the Lord Jesus, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Oh, and so we could go on. Are you afraid of death? I stood at the graveside of a dear friend today, conducting her funeral. And that dear believer, she's with the Lord now. That dear believer, you know, she didn't fear death. She'd been dying for a whole year, dying slowly, but she didn't fear death. Why is that? Because she was trusting in the one that had conquered death. Says the Lord Jesus in John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Do you believe it? That Jesus is the resurrection and the life. That's why I don't fear death. That's why Colleen Clark, that we buried today, she didn't feel, well, we didn't bury her, we just buried her little casket in which she lived. We buried her body. Colleen's very much alive in the presence of the Lord tonight. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. But you know, she didn't fear death. And every believer doesn't fear death. I might fear how I die. I wouldn't particularly want to die a painful death like Colleen did. But I don't fear death, because my Saviour's triumphed over death. He is the resurrection and the life. Would you like to know the way? Perhaps there's someone tonight and you're wanting to know the way to heaven, the way to God. Well, listen to the words of the Lord Jesus in response to the question, how can we know the way? He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by. And so we could go on. These great I ams, this wonderful person. But then he says, I am the door. Well, you say, well, that's a kind of strange picture. He likens himself to a door. Well, you see, you've got to look at the background to these words. You see, the Lord Jesus was speaking to an agricultural people, the people of Israel. They were all familiar with sheep and with the care of sheep and the danger that sheep were in. And you see, the shepherds got together in each locality. They got together and they built a great enclosure, a fold, a communal fold. And every night, the shepherds would bring their little flocks of sheep into the communal fold. You see, because there was dangers. There were lions, and there were bears, and there were wolves, and there were thieves and robbers. And these sheep were in danger. And so to protect them, they brought them into the communal fold, and then each shepherd would take it in turn to sleep across the entry to the fold. So they became the door. No one could get in or out except by his permission. So he becomes the door. That's why the Lord says, I am the door of the sheep, earlier on. And so that's the picture. He says, I am the door. I am the door. You notice? Emphatic. He doesn't say, I am a door. As though there's other doors. There's only one door. Jesus says, I am the door. I am the way to safety. He says, by me, this wonderful promise, by me, if anyone enters in, he shall be saved, or she shall be saved. And so the Savior, he's presenting himself as the only way to salvation. There's salvation in none other. Why, Peter, when preaching the gospel in Acts chapter 4, he would tell us that. He says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Dear friend, tonight, I just want to emphasize, in this world of confusion, religious confusion, you know, folks will say, well, you know, doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you're sincere, and you know, we're all like people climbing up a mountain, and you're going up one side, and I'm going up the other side, and eventually we'll all meet at the top, you know, we'll all get to heaven. My dear friend, that's furthest from the truth. Furthest from the truth. I want to tell you, there's only one way to God, and there's only one way to heaven, and there's only one way to salvation, and Jesus said, I am the way. Do you know why he's the way? Oh, you say, well, he's the Son of God. Oh, yes, that's true. We've thought about the person. But you know, that in itself could never save me. No, that could never save me. You see, we read further on, the Lord Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He's speaking about his death. He's speaking about the day when men would impale him by his hands and feet to a Roman gibbet, the day when he would be lifted up and there to suffer on the cross that we've been singing about tonight. You see, Jesus is the way, not just because he is the Son of God and the Messiah, but because he died for sinners on the cross and he bore my judgment. The judgment my sins deserved, the Lord Jesus took my place. And he bore the judgment of God against my sins as he hung there on Calvary. All my sins were laid upon him. Jesus bore them on the tree. And God that knew them laid them on him. And by his wondrous grace and by his blood, I am free. You know, dear friend, I stand here tonight delivered, freed, redeemed, because my Savior took my place, shed his precious blood. You see, he's the door because of not only who he is, but because of what he's done. He's accomplished the great work of redemption. And on that cross, my friend, he bore your guilt. To make it possible for a righteous, holy God tonight to deal with you in grace and to forgive you. But that's only for those who enter in. You know, salvation is offered to the whole world. There's nobody excluded. God is offering to this whole world the gift of salvation. But it's only those who enter in. That is, those who come to Christ in repentance. Those who turn from themselves and their sin and put their faith in the Lord Jesus, and in that moment of believing, they've entered in. I wonder, dear friend, have you entered in? Which side of the door are you on tonight? We sometimes sing with the children, one door. And only one, and yet its sides are two, an inside, an outside. On which side are you? One door and only one, and yet its sides are two, I'm on the inside. On which side are you, dear friend? Would you want salvation tonight? Oh, you say yes. Yes, I would like to know that I'm really saved. That I'm saved from my sins. That I'm saved from the judgment that my sins deserve. Perhaps there's someone tonight and you would want that wonderful blessing. Well, it's available. The Lord Jesus is saying to you tonight, I am the door. By me, if you'll enter in, you shall be saved. Isn't that wonderful? A promise that God always keeps. You know, men make promises, especially politicians. You know, they make you all kinds of promises. Eh? And then they never fulfill them. Either because they had no intention of fulfilling them, or else they just couldn't fulfill them. But when the Lord Jesus gives a promise, he fulfills it. He keeps his word. And my dear friend tonight, if you're prepared to believe God and to put your faith in Jesus Christ, then you shall be saved. It's as though you've entered in and you become one of his sheep. You see, just now tonight, if you're not saved, you're lost. And you're just like a lost sheep, and you're in danger. The Bible says that. All we like sheep have gone astray, says Isaiah. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord Jesus, as he looked at that crowd that day and preached to them this wonderful message, how did he see them? He saw them as sheep without a shepherd. He saw them as lost souls. He saw them as souls that were in danger of perishing, in danger of being lost forever. Dear friend, I want to tell you, if you're not saved in the meeting tonight, that's just exactly your condition. That's exactly where you are. And you need to get saved and you need to enter in. Perhaps you're thinking, well done. I think it's time that I was getting saved. But not tonight. Maybe some other time I'll enter in. But not now. I tell you, there's many a soul. There's many a sinner in hell tonight that once sat in meetings like this and heard the gospel. They never intended to go to hell. They intended to get saved, but they kept putting it off, saying perhaps tomorrow, perhaps some other time. Yes, I'll turn to the Lord, but not yet, not yet. The old preachers used to say the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Oh, dear friend, don't make that mistake. I remember I was preaching the gospel out in Botswana to a crowded shop, an empty shop that they had taken over to preach the gospel. It was crowded. There was a young woman sitting in the front there. Her name's Nkitsi. She was sitting there. She'd heard the gospel time without number. She'd heard that she needed to get saved. And she knew she needed to get saved. And that night, she went out of the shop and she said to her sister Dimple, she says, too long I've stood at the door. She said, tonight I entered in. She got saved that night. She entered in. Dear friend, you can enter in tonight if you'll only but believe God. Believe the words of the Lord Jesus. I am the door. By me, if anyone enter in, he shall be saved. May the Lord bless his word.